Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. I'd like you to join our popular Latin lover, Father Reginald Foster, as he speaks to me of two very English characters. Stay tuned. You know what I found? I found something that maybe you're interested in.
John Fisher. Oh, Lord. That's another one.
Westmonasterian. Which means Westminster, I guess.
Yeah, Westmonasteriensis.
The canonization of...
the Blessed Martyrs, Cardinal John Fisher, Bishop of Rochester, and Thomas More, the Chancellor of England.
Okay, in Latin, I'm reading here. Canonizationis Beatorum Martyrum...
Cardinalis...
Johannes Fisher.
Episcopi Rofensis.
How Rofensis becomes Rochester, I don't know.
I don't know how they did it.
Maybe it was
Old Roman name. These are old Roman names.
Maybe Rochester was an old Roman.
Yeah, certainly.
And Thomas More, Tomae.
Cancellarii Angliae.
Why does it start with super dubio? Super doubt?
Yeah, this is, when they're asking a question.
So
because the doubt is in the next line with the with these letters here. Whether a commission should be assigned of resuming the case at hand and for the effect about which we are talking. That's the doubt. Mm-hmm. That it should be undertake once again the case of canonization of these people. And then he goes on, of course, he has to say, yes, of course, but
this was before the founding of our radio station, because this
1930
happened in June 1930. The 18th of June 1930.
Very good. Wonderful.
So inter beatos martyris Angliae, qua gloriosi titulo sanctorum insula. Appellabatur.
Okay, among the blessed martyrs of England, which used to be called the Island of the Saints, with a glorious title.
Was it called the Island of the Saints?
Oh, I don't know. That's what he says. You better look into it. That's not my kind of business. Two illustrious men shine forth like stars.
Stelle,
certainly.
Refulgent. Duo illustrus vire tamquam stelle
refulgent. Oh, is that good? Okay, among all the blessed martyrs of England, you see one in the high degree of ecclesiastical hierarchy because he was a bishop. And constituted in the Episcopal order. John Cardinal Fisher, Bishop of the people of Rochester.
Let's move down here. I suppose Cardinal wrote this, no? Cardinal Laurenti.
Heaven's sakes.
But would this have been written in Latin by the Cardinal's office, or would there be
in
those days? You would have been out of a job.
I mean, we do these things every day.
Do you?
I was doing the canonization of, I don't know what, Spanish martyrs in the Civil War, just this morning. So, I mean, these are flunkies, secretaries who do this stuff.
You're a flunky. You describe yourself as a flunky.
Well, we just blah, 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 blah.
What's a flunky in Latin?
Oh, it's naquam. Naquam. A worthless guy is a flunky. Is naquam.
It's a strange thing because at Vatican Radio we don't have a Latin program, but we have an Esperanto program.
Well, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You used to have a Latin program. Some Jesuit, and he a Slovenian Jesuit, and then he died, and who do you call it? Some other Jesuit said, "Nah, it's the end of Latin." Well, anyway.
At any rate, if you go down the page, it strikes me how they have a little bit of a biography of Thomas More.
Certainly.
Who was born in London, Londini Natus,
anno 1480. And educated in Oxford.
Oxoni.
Pius, Oxonii Educatus. educated in Oxford.
Why are there two I's on oxonii?
Because it's what they call the locative. Oxonii in Oxford. Pious from his childhood, and so on and so on. Praebat fidelibus rebe abba Celsia. He was taking the lead in front of all the faithful of his parish in Chelsea.
A man for all seasons.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
How do you say a man for all seasons?
Omnibus temporibus viraptus. Oh, I can say it better than that. You saw the movie and so on.
Yes.
And his daughters and Henry comes up there.
They speak about Henry VIII. If you
and
turn,
the daughters go out into the water and say, oh, salve me rex. And they address Henry VIII in Latin. When he came up on his barge up to Chelsea.
How'd you say Henry VIII came up on his barge?
Up
the Thames, rather than to Chelsea.
Chelsea am venit vicula sua Henricus rex.
In fact, in this,
beautiful.
In this text, if you turn that page and you go to the first paragraph, they speak about Henry VIII. Paulo post rex Henricus
Octavus.
Octavus is in the Latin numerals, whereas I noticed that the birth of Thomas More, despite being in Latin, was not in Roman numerals.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. That's just the thing.
1480. Anyway, my Latin is, as you know, very limited, but I can see that his wife, Caterina, was irritas et sacrilegia.
No, be careful. No. Henry VIII, who, while his legitimate wife, Catherine, was still living, tentaverat, had tried invalid and sacrilegious marriage with Anna Bolena. Mm. You see the whole story there. When he had not been able to obtain the approval of his crime, nor of a divorce, nor of new matrimony, so on and so on, de facit, this is in line 5, he fell away from the Catholic religion and from obedience toward the Roman pontiff.
A religione cattolica et ab obedientia
erga Romanum pontificem defecit.
Et rebellionis vexillum
erexit. And he set up a flag of rebellion.
A flag.
Well, vexillum. A standard. Oh, it's glorious.
Sub.
Well, we write the same thing today.
Sub quo subditos subditos.
Subditos suos cum nefandro et credeli sue religione potus abusu militare coagit. Under which flag he forced subditos suos, his subjects, to fight with a unspeakable nefando, an unspeakable and cruel abuse of his royal power. Ooh, they're glorious.
They seem to dedicate more time to Thomas More than John
Fisher. Fisher was the most educated man around. Everyone knows that.
There's lots here in italics.
Well, these are all quotes. Well, that's very good and beautiful. Ooh, I have to save these things. I mean, I just kind of never thought of doing this. And that's why he says this doubt here at the end here.
Where?
Whether the commission should be revised. And he says, affirmative. Where is this? Affirmative.
If affirmative seo signanda.
Namely, that a commission should be designated of the resumption of the case if it will have pleased His Holiness.
Well, why is that interesting?
I mean, so that was the end of the doubt. Should we reopen the case of canonization for these two guys? And of course, he says, yes, His Holiness considered this a good thing, and so forth and so on.
Who was Pope Pius
the 11th in 1930.
And A big thank you there to our popular Latin lover, Father Reginald Foster, a Carmelite who spent most of his life translating papal documents. That's to say, the Pope's Latinist.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.